Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bundy!
Hey, Bundy!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Busy one to get into. We're Facebook Living right now. I'm scaring many children. They're with Ma and Pa. Or if you're just at your desk and your boss walks by and you see this large mammal with multiple chins, don't freak. We're experimenting, much like spring football's experimenting. What are your thoughts from Coach Langsdorf? You'll hear that coming up. Erin Sorensen in 1 hour. Her thoughts on the week of Husker spring practice. We'll get into Nebraska baseball. A date with the Turtles this weekend. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, in 15 minutes. And we'll run down Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, as he has been at Augusta National all week. He is headed back to Nebraska and sits next to me and TJ. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. On Facebook, the ESPN 1480 Facebook page. And also can get in touch with us on the text line. You text Hail to 88474. Your chance at $1,000 with Moneyball coming up at 5 o'clock with ESPN. If you want to join us on the show, can call the tap line, can tap the line with Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Again, those numbers 466-3776 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, I've got to do a little bit of consoling here for TJ Henning. The rumor mill is alive and well and swirling. It's the best picture is Lieutenant Dan telling the Hurricane to bring it on in Forrest Gump. That's what's swirling rumor mill-wise with Nebraska basketball. It's been coined, it's a lifestyle, by TJ Henning, part of the Red
that
Zone.
It is, yep.
An honorary member of the Red Zone. Yay! You've got some real issues potentially to start next week with the roster. This isn't a broken record. This isn't a best-of show. You may have more defections.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I'm telling you there's a big chance, Lloyd. It is nothing official yet. But if you just check out HailVarsity.com, message board, when we talk about good info, it's there.
It is.
Some good sources, not just message board-wise, but I'm talking just good people in the know. Are fretting possible defection or defections. We'll talk with Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. He knows a lot about Nebraska basketball in 15 minutes. But let's stick to spring practice. Let's just stop that. See, I'm so bad with devices. Forgive me there.
I can hear you.
Yeah. That means it was taping,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, it was working.
We turned it off because I'm down to the red line on my phone now. But no, we'll do more Facebook Living and all that good stuff. But with spring football, let's go there. Let's start a little bit further back to last night. We were kind of waiting on word from an injury report, JoJo Doman out for the rest of spring and maybe beyond with that ACL. That was confirmed, torn ACL. A.J. Natter, knee injury. That was touched on. But then you had Coach Langsdorf, and my big concern or thought was, how has the offense been this week? Did a manifesto on it. And Coach Langsdorf spent some time with it, so we'll hear from him in a minute on that. But we'll kind of focus on the quarterback race, the O-line's performance, and then a really focal point in his discussion, and Mike Babcock and Erin Sorensen and Jacob Padilla at practice yesterday, the tight end spot. we can spend a few minutes on. But how's the offensive line doing? Here is Danny, Mr. Danny, on that O-line.
We're always looking for improvement from those guys. And then there's a lot of battles at different spots, throughout the offense. So I think that the constant competition and evaluation is really important for us. And in all the situations, whether it's not just an eval on Saturday in a scrimmage. It's going to be a big eval today on a lot of situational work. So these are important days, and we keep talking about every day consistently competing, and our opportunities are limited with the 15 days.
And Coach McBride has said that for a month. They had 20, and they loved it. 15's more narrow, less contact, and you're mixing and matching and shuffling. And it's coaching. How do guys do when they're comfortable? How do guys do when they're uncomfortable? And then how do they react to, and how long does it take them to get comfortable when you're kind of mixed and matched with different people? So overall, offensively, the evaluation continues. That's a good thing. The offensive line, a concern. How's its performance been? This is pretty telling from Coach Langsdorf.
Up and down. We did some good things at times. We would hit a run, and then we'd lose yards on a run, and then we'd hit another one. Just a lot of inconsistency, which is pretty standard, I guess, for this time of year and the first time live. I'm not that surprised, but we've got some veteran guys up front that they've got to play better for longer periods of time.
So that's good. That's a good update. That's an honest update.
Telling.
Up and down, and we need older guys to play.
Guys to play better
at a longer pace and length. So
young pups are going to get some work, it sounds like.
Well, good.
Which, yeah.
Fine. Get me the best 7.
Mm-hmm.
And
if those are those redshirt freshmen, those 4 guys, and put them in there.
Well, and there's center to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Decker. You have Reardon. And now Conrad. Conrad's been a tackle. Conrad, to me, was a guy that could win your right tackle spot. You had Gates at left, Conrad at right. Well, 2 things. They're really not happy with one of their centers. Or they're fine with both of their centers, but, man, things just go well in the run game with Conrad at center. So bottom line is you got to get your best in there. Thirdly, maybe they feel good about tackle. Maybe they think Neville's made a jump or can get back to form or grow from all the just phenomenal gifts he has.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts he has.
Or maybe he's one of those veteran guys that's still struggling, though.
Well, that seems to be part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget Farniok. I mean, maybe things are going better for him at tackle. Maybe Gaylord's doing some work. There's a lot of possibilities at tackle. But if you're moving a guy that was going to get snaps as one of your top 3 tackles to center, and it's, again, experimentation period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a definite move.
Set in stone, yeah.
It's not set in stone. It's not ink. But you're taking time away from right tackle reps, or you're splitting those reps then. So, again, another message to the offensive line, and that'll be cool to see tomorrow how things go in another scrimmage. How much 1 versus 1? Who's mixed and matched with the ones? Who are your quarterbacks throwing to? Who's protecting your quarterbacks? The run emphasis, how much running are you doing? Who's in on some of those rundowns? So it'll be good. And listen, the coaches in Langsdorf, very, very calm. At least they're not sweating right now. They look good. They feel good. And they're not outwardly panicked about any of this. They understand what spring is, and they're just kind of mellow about it. They're intense. They're demanding. But there's not a panic with them. The quarterbacks, it's a topic they spoke after practice. Patrick O'Brien did, as well as Tanner Lee. And how are the quarterbacks doing? That question to Coach Langsdorf.
You know, you see Patrick with a big, strong arm, able to make all the throws. I think that his ability to push the ball down the field is impressive. I think he's doing a nice job within our system and kind of getting through the reads and checking the ball down nicely.
So that was your Patrick O'Brien update. Here's your Tanner Lee update, and then kind of overall generalization of both of them.
And then you have Tanner, who's got just a lightning release. I mean, one of the quicker releases I've seen. He really can snap the ball out of his hands with good velocity. It's a pretty release. And he's smart, so he's getting the ball out of his hands quick. He's helping our protection. He's not taking sacks. He's getting us in the right play when he has the ability to change. I think they're both doing some good things. They've really impressed at times throwing the ball. And I like what they're doing, both of them, in the run game. They're doing a better job of getting us out of a bad play and into a better play.
So that's so key, is the recognition and the box count. Is this a rundown or a pass down, and how can it go effectively? So let's talk tight ends here. And the question kind of came up, as much as the tight ends were used in last Saturday's practice, is that by design? Is that a sign of things to come? Because of what options you have at tight end, here's Coach Langsdorf.
Yes and no. We're trying to eval some guys, so we want to give them some work. We're a little thin at receiver. That's part of it. You know, spring ball, with the way we're set up, we have to make sure we're taking care of some guys and not wearing too many out. We were a little heavier that way. You know, I think we need to get that group going, and we need to find out what we have in Snyder. You know, Hoppus has played, but not a ton. I think you're seeing Jack Stoll coming along. You know, Engelhop is getting some good minutes. So I think that's an important position for us to evaluate and continue to grow with.
You got a slew of new tight ends. What can they do? How do they work with each quarterback? How do they work against the ones, the twos, the threes on defense? It's important to find out more on the quarterbacks that are throwing to those tight ends. Are the quarterbacks where you want them to be right now? Coach Langsdorf answered after last night's practice.
At times they are. You know, we got to be more consistent. Each one of them has had really good days and then, you know, kind of average days at times. I think you're seeing more and more consistency from that position, which is encouraging. They both have done some really, really nice stuff in practice. You know, we're striving for being perfect. So they've got to continue to make throws, make good decisions, take care of the ball, get us in the right runs. You know, all of it's a constant eval. So we've got, you know, these next, four practices to get some more evaluation on them and then go from there.
So Langsdorf is underlined, italicized, circled, highlighted the cumulative effect of each practice. You're all adding it up. You ever build a Lego, like a model Lego car? Yeah, I did once, and then I dropped it, never again. But each piece was important, and that's kind of how he is shaping and the message he's delivering with each practice. And there's not weights attached that weigh any more than another day. Very adamant about tomorrow's scrimmage, just how important it is. Well, it's important, yes, but it's not more so.
I don't think it's any bigger than the other ones, than the other practices. Because to me, it's the whole body of work. It's not, you know, the scrimmage stuff. They're not getting hit anyway. So it's just the same as an evaluation from today's practice in my mind. I don't put any more stock in it. I like the fact that situationally we're changing it up, but we're not making a huge deal about Saturday's practice any different than today or Tuesday. They're all the same to me.
Just kind of like Ohio State and who do they open with? Nebraska?
Arkansas State. They're the same.
Are Patrick O'Brien and Tanner Lee the same? One quarterback seems to think it's pretty tight. The other, Tanner Lee right here, his answer, not evasive, but he's not declaring himself. He's probably just kind of being quiet about where he thinks things are. But he gave a very PC answer.
Yeah, we get the next day. We get our grades from the day before. I think everyone's doing well. You know, it's just interesting to see, you know, his grades and, you know, where we got to improve and little things that he sees and the little details of the play that I need to improve on.
So we get grades every day. You get a daily report card. And the question asked was, do you guys know where you stand? Tanner does. So does Patrick O'Brien, and he answered about it, cut 14, where he thinks he's at.
I mean, he just tells us, I mean, we're both competing really hard, and we've both been performing pretty well, so it's pretty even, I feel like. I mean, that's what he said to both of us, or I mean, that's what I've heard, so I feel pretty strong where I'm at right now. I feel like I'm performing pretty well, making good decisions, so I'm like where I'm at right now.
So here is the elder statesman and Tanner Lee that's been part of a Division I program that's looked really good. And then here's been Patrick O'Brien, the redshirt freshman that's put in work, that's done some really good things. And he thinks it's, is the message the same but being heard different? I don't know. We got to watch him tomorrow. That'll be fun. Can't wait for that. And then you're a week away from the spring extravaganza. Great to have you in on a Friday with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. We will maybe try and do the FaceTime thing again. FaceTime Live. Your chance coming up at a Hail Varsity subscription. Nebraska basketball rumor mill. We'll talk about it with Bill Dolman next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
15 minutes away, we'll catch up with Jay Moore at Augusta National or around there. Can't be on site, let alone number 18 and use your phone without getting punched, which is okay. I get rules. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury and with NBC Sports, Bill Dolman with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We got the walk-up music queued up. Billy D, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. I'm getting a chance to just watch all that I want. I thought I saw Jay swimming in the pond just off the screen, but apparently it was somebody else.
Yeah, he had a swan and he was floating. I know what you're saying. Well, let's talk a little bit about Nebraska basketball for a minute. We spoke last week, and the topic then was New Mexico. That's no longer a topic. No official news from the University of Nebraska basketball program, but there are thoughts and some information out there that you may lose more on your roster. Again, unconfirmed, but could happen. I could get hit by a bus walking out the door here, too. So let's play hypothetical for a second, Bill. You've covered Coach Miles for a number of years in the Mountain West. You've been covering Nebraska basketball through a lot of your career. If you lose, hypothetically, one to two more guys by Monday, your reaction's what?
Well, I think it's then now I think you're getting into an area where it's troubling. Last week when it's a couple of guys, you look around all of college basketball and there's 350 programs and 700 plus transfers. That's the average of two per school. It's just the era of college basketball that unfortunately that we're in, where guys, aren't happy and they want to move on. But when you start to get somewhat of a mass exodus, that's a bit of an issue. The one thing that I think Nebraska has to be careful of, though, is letting players, run the organization. You go way, way back when some kid named Magic Johnson didn't want to play for, who was it, Paul Westhead with the L.A. Lakers, and they fire the coach. And, that's the way it works in the NBA. That cannot become, the way it is in college basketball, and it can't become the way it is at Nebraska basketball. I'm sure that there is, maybe there are some schools where that takes place, but if Sean Eichhorst is going to sit down and visit with Michael Dickinson and Glenn Watson and whoever else, maybe rumored, out there is looking elsewhere, and all of a sudden the change is made because players are disgruntled, you lost all leadership. Now you're letting players dictate how a multi-million-dollar operation is being run, and I just don't think that can happen. But clearly, there's something if you have a mass exodus like this, and I don't know necessarily what the answer is. But you cannot let college players, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, dictate who your coach is going to be, unless there is some, extreme situation like Baylor,
Right.
Then maybe, but hey, the guy's too tough. You can't treat us this way because we've got all these beautiful practice facilities. I just think that you've got soft players these days in this era of college basketball, and if it's tough because everything is too nice, well, that doesn't fly with me either. But if there are some, some major players leaving and more players leaving, then there's got to be some type of come to Jesus.
Well, and if you're the athletic director, Bill, you've come out in support rather quickly after some silence.
And he should have.
Right.
And should have probably done it before. Hey, look what happened with the Nebraska women's basketball program.
Right.
You go back a year, and whether everything was, once Amy Williams was hired, I pretty much tuned out for the most part in terms of what the story was, and they had an awful season. But whether those rumors and reports and all that was substantiated or not, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. But it sure seemed to me like there were some players who just weren't happy because the coach was pretty tough. Now, again, there may be more to the story than I know, but that sure seemed like a situation where certain people got to say enough and a change was made. That cannot continue to happen.
You're right, but at what point do you – what's your recourse? Because, the kind of cat's out of the bag, so to speak, because you've already had – a laundry list of guys check out from Nebraska basketball the last 3 years. It's not just that you've had players leave Nebraska. It's who they are. It's the value and the talent level, guys that are supposed to help you win and have helped you win when you actually won, that have said, I'm out of here.
I don't know. I really do. That's why, Sean Eichhorst and Tim Miles make a hell of a lot more money than we'll ever see.
Sure.
In a month. But I'm just telling you that if guys are leaving or if they're giving an ultimatum, either he goes or I go, this can't be the end of Hoosiers. But Jimmy Chitwood, or the middle of Hoosiers, Jimmy Chitwood saying, coach goes, I go, he stays, I play. You can't have that. You can have it in a movie, but somebody's got to exert some leadership and say this is the way of Nebraska basketball. And if that's Sean Eichhorst telling these guys, look, you want to leave, that's fine, but it's going to be really difficult for you. We're not going to give you a blank check on where you can go. Mm-hmm. I think that's been done in the past. That's not going to happen. Guys who are going to want to go are going to have to sit out if they're going to want to play at a high level. If they want to go down and play D2 ball, that's fine. And you can play right away. But you're interrupting your college career, if you're, one of the more prominent players at a key time. I don't know what the answer is other than, there's got to be some type of meeting with the higher-ups and to say, what's going on here?
Well,
you can't let the players run the place.
I'm interested to... Someday I'd be interested to get the reasoning as to not just the first transfer, the second transfer. I would like to, and we've had Pettaway on, and Pettaway wanted to go to the NBA. Walt didn't like playing down low, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or with his back towards the rim. Walt was a catch-and-shoot guy, and that's why he was at Florida. Ed didn't want to play down low. If a couple of these guys end up leaving, that's being rumored, it will be about playing out of position, and they're questioning the development. Andrew White left, wanted a better, bigger stage, but Was he going to get the spotlight, or was that going to be a Ty Webster team? And it was a Ty Webster team this year because you didn't have Andrew White. So you've got some common themes here potentially as to why guys have departed. When it comes,
maybe there has to be an adjustment in whatever the system is, mm-hmm. and maybe they're recruiting, you know, great players and saying we're gonna jam these guys, these pegs into
just
a
get
round
here
ball.
And we'll figure it out.
You know, you maximize their talent and you know, I think that there was a coach of the football team who tried to jam in players and was, you know, okay with having a bad year, you know, and blame it on the players for not adjusting to his brilliance. Well, maybe as a coach, you got to adjust to, you know, you're bringing in some great talent. And I would say Nebraska's had some talent in basketball that has been brought in over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best talent over that period since, you know, Danny Nee brought in some guys that were really, really good, right?
Yes.
But maybe instead of bringing them in and saying you're gonna play my way, maybe Tim has to adjust and say what's best. You know, is it just a pure motion thing where there is no, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 player? I don't know, mm-hmm. but maybe that's it. And adjusting your system to the talent that you're bringing in because there's talent that's being brought in. I don't know. That may be if everybody's disappointed with the their position and where they are on the floor. You know, either accept your role or sit on the bench. But I just don't think, you know, that players are necessarily – I think I just continue to say I think players want it their way. They want it easy. They've got the nice facilities, all of that, and they don't like being put in a position where they don't get to do what they want to do.
Bill Dolan.
I think there's a lot of eye in the team, and I don't think that's just a Nebraska problem. I just think the guys are looking out for themselves because that's the way AAU coaches have allowed them to be, and high school coaches have allowed AAU coaches and parents to dictate, you know, the attitudes.
Billy D, I've got about 90 seconds here. A thought on your Rockets. Spent a number of years with the Rockets and James Harden's his transformation because this.
No, I'm totally stunned.
Yeah,
I am stunned. He was an immature player. He was an immature guy. He may still be to a certain extent. I mean, he's still like, 24, 25 with, you know, $90 million or $100 million in his pocket. But he has thrived under Mike D'Antoni. There's no question about it. And I know that there's, you know, the Houston is what, 3, and Oklahoma City, I think, is 6 in the West right now.
Good round. Yeah.
And there's every reason to say that, you know, Russell Westbrook should be the MVP. I get that because without him, there's no way they're anywhere in the top 8. But I think Harden Harden's the MVP because and one of the reasons why I think the Rockets have a better chance of winning it all, and I mean winning the championship than Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets could go a long way, and I think one of the biggest question marks going into the playoffs, I think the return of Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors is going to be a detriment to their title chances.
Wow.
Because he's been out for so long, and now, you know, the big question going into the season in my mind was how is he going to adapt to all those guys? Now he's coming in at the biggest part of the season. And this is Curry and Green and Thompson's team again. And now you're going to put him in at the most important time of year. I just think that's really going to be disruptive. I know they're having a great year and they're 10-0 in their last 10 games. I think that's going to be an issue for Golden State is, wait a minute, what's this guy doing here? And now he's getting, you know, all the shots again.
Bill.
I think that's going to be an adjustment.
Bill, we'll run you down next week for more playoff talk, bud. Thanks again.
All right, see you later.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury with us.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio at JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some? some fun!
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We have been searching all week for him, and he's been down at Augusta National, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, avid golfer, phenomenal golfer, and patron of Augusta. Jay Moore is with us. Bird, how are you?
I am good, man. I'm great. Just hanging out here down, and I'm actually in Charleston, South Carolina, waiting to catch my flight back home to Lincoln, and just hanging out, enjoying this nice weather, and having my phone back on me. It's weird that I have my phone on me for a couple days, so kind of refreshing, but ready to get back at it and hop back on the air with you when I get back in town.
I got to ask you, now, your layout, the trip and the experience, because obviously it's day two, you got to check out most of a week there and then day one yesterday. Tell me about how it was.
Yeah, it's man, I don't know, even if words can words can describe it. It's crazy. You know, flew in here, flew in Charleston on Monday, and then, you know, we were there at 7:30 in the morning on Tuesday to watch the practice round, and you're there for 12 hours. You know, we walked out at 7:30, and you're able to see everything. You know, we walked the whole golf course, we saw every hole. You know, this is huge property, obviously, and tons of elevation change, but it's just weird. And you're there, you have all this energy, and it's just an amazing experience. The grass is so green and so lush, it almost looks fake. Like, I had to stop down and touch it a couple times, but I thought it was field turf. That's no joke. I mean, that's just how good it is. Everyone is just extremely nice. The help, the volunteers there are great. It's just everything's awesome. You know, nothing's overpriced. It's $1.50 sandwiches and $3 beers and, you know, $1 candy bars. And, you know, everything is just, it's perfectly done. And Tuesday's a little different just because it's the practice round and you're seeing everything, and you're watching everybody go about their process of getting ready for Thursday through Sunday, and then Wednesday we didn't go, thankfully, because a huge storm came through to even cancel the par three. So we drove a couple hours over to Hilton Head and played a little golf, and then headed over again on Thursday morning for the first round, which is my favorite. Some people enjoy the practice round more; they like to see the guys how they prepare. I like to see them actually play. Finish a hole, you know, play when it counts. And so that was a lot of fun. We got there and, you know, followed the first group of Russell Henley and Daniel Summerhayes, and we sat in the first grandstand on one green for about 30 minutes, watched a few groups come through. Then we just started following around. We walked down two and watched a few guys, you know, a few groups play two. Then we sat in, my favorite spot was probably 13 grandstand. So you're right behind 14 tees, so you can see 13 green and see guys tee up on 14 right in front of you. So we sat there for about an hour and a half, watched a bunch of groups come through. Then we made our way over to the 12 grandstand, which is obviously the famous A-man corner, and watched guys just try to figure out what that brutal wind was doing yesterday. So that was so much fun to watch. You see guys hit shots and putt into 11. You just see guys hit their shots in the 12 green. The concession stand's closed, so, you know, it's just a short walk to go grab a cold beer or a sandwich. We hung out there for a couple hours. We just walked around, man. It was just so fun to watch everyone go up about their business and play this unreal golf course and be part of, you know, history, you know, and be a part of the Masters. I don't know how many it is, but it started in 1934. So it was crazy. It's unreal. I'm trying to do my best to describe it, but I don't think you can. You just have to be there, see it for yourself and experience. And it's, I tell you what, I'm still, you know, coming down from cloud nine and pinching myself and you're realizing what, you know, I just was able to see for the last couple of days.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Hail Varsity Radio. He is headed back to Nebraska, but he's been at the Masters all week, and he was able to see the opening round yesterday. Hoffman, the leader as we speak right now. I know you got to jump on a plane in a little bit. McGirt, Sergio, Ricky, I mean, that's as we speak right now. Things can be fluid, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone you are specifically interested in following or watching day one? I know you just kind of laid out who you tried to soak it all in, but who's your guy that you root for, you cheer for?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's kind of hard to follow a group just because of the way they route you around the golf course. Sometimes you can't get to parts of the golf course to follow, so you kind of get stuck, and then you have to kind of reroute and get around. We tried to see everyone. Actually, we never saw one shot of Jordan Spieth, just the way we were moving around. Never saw him hit one golf shot. We were even looking on the scoreboards, the leaderboards, and his name never came up there. That's just weird, you know. It's just, you know, he's out here, you just don't see him. But, man, we saw Rory. We saw him make his great par save on 10 yesterday, getting up and down from front left part of the green. Saw Freddie Couples play 13. Saw so many, you know, great players. We watched Henrik Stenson play a few holes. And we saw Charlie Hoffman's birdie on 14 and 15. Saw his tee shot on 16. We sat on 16 grandstand for a little bit, and you could see guys hit their shots into 15. We saw Rory birdie from 15, make his birdie putt there, and then go in there and stick it to like 4 feet on 16. Him and I think was he playing with John Rahm and someone else? I can't remember who else he was playing with, but those guys are all just throwing darts at the flag on 16, and it was just you tried to do your best. I really wanted to see Rory hit a few shots. I wanted to hit a few shots just because he's such a good ball striker. But you obviously can't see anyone. Really hard, you know, because TV, it spoils you because you can see anything and everything. But when you're out there, it's just hard to see everyone come through. And we did our best, but my biggest guy was definitely to see Rory hit a few shots.
Your take on Dustin Johnson's situation?
Kind of a crazy deal. I mean, we are hanging out, you know, after down in the Hilton Head area, actually in Bluffton, South Carolina, after we got to playing golf on Wednesday, and ESPN comes out with breaking news that, you know, Dustin slipped and hurt his back. We're like, what? You know, he was definitely the odds-on favorite coming in there, you know, hot, winning a couple events earlier this year. We're like, what? There's no way. And my initial thought is, okay, Is it a bruise? Is it a strain? Is it a spasm? You know, if it's a bruise, I think you can work through it, but it just depends on where it was. And, you know, they say the back, but really it almost looked like it was like more rib, you know, side area. So that makes it really hard for a golfer to turn and get through the shot to you know, especially at Augusta. You got to be on point out there. So, I mean, shock. I mean, obviously it's that guy was, I had the mini master school that I partook and I had him in a couple of them, and obviously those brackets are shot now, but yeah, just crazy how these things happen. I know he's not happy with it, but, and I don't know if there's anything else to the story, you know, bad luck. Just
you hope not.
And what's that?
I said you hope not, right? I mean, just freak
exactly.
Accident.
You don't just because you've heard stuff with Dustin in the past, and I know he's a changed man now, but you just hope, you know, there's nothing else to the story that, you know, that people are insinuating that he might have had to fake something because something else that happened. That's not the case. I mean, I don't think that's the case at all. So bad luck for a great player that easily could have won his second major in the last year. So it's hopefully he'll get healed up and move on.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Hail Varsity Radio. He has been at Augusta all week. He is headed back to Big Red Land. Okay, the legend of the pimento cheese. Describe it. Is it worth the hype?
I think it is. I've had pimento cheese before, like homemade ones. I think it's awesome. The homemade kind of I have, I like it really spicy. This one is a little duller, but I tweeted it out last night. I mean, the way to go is you take a pimento cheese sandwich and you take an egg salad sandwich and you put the two together. And that's the way to go. And honestly, my favorite sandwich was their pulled pork barbecue that I had there. That was really good. Never got to it, but I wanted to do all three on one. It's kind of like a Frankenstein sandwich. That's what was my next
one. We'll call it the Jay Moore.
The barbecue sandwiches were sold out late yesterday afternoon, so I was never able to do it. So maybe that's on the to-do list when next time I get down there.
So pimento, egg salad, pulled pork barbecue. We'll call it the Jay Moore.
Yes.
All right, done deal.
That's the way to go.
Hey, brother, safe travels. We will talk to you next week. Big scrimmage tomorrow for Nebraska. Just another practice, obviously, but we'll see how the offense responds. But I know you've had an awesome time down at Augusta. Thank you, man, for taking time to check in with us from down there.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah, I was glad to get all caught up with the guys. And, yeah, it's been a blast. And we'll see you next week.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Well, we just heard from Jay as he is headed back from Augusta National, the Masters, so he had a heck of a good time yesterday. Bubba Watson not having a great time. Bubba, to a member of the media, golf is tough. I don't know if you ever played it, but writing articles is easy.
Oh.
So Bubba.
Bubba ever been on a deadline?
Bubba, after a probable missed cut at the Masters, and then the timeline of this tweet from Gene Sapikoff. Can't believe someone from Baghdad, Florida would say, writing is easy, by the way. More good. On this. It's a wonder why no one likes this guy.
Ooh, yeah.
Bubba, a.k.a. the next generation of John Daly.
Ooh.
the respect. Don't disrespect John Daly like that. And then a member of the media says, I do both. I'd rather play golf. Bubba Watson, the anti-Arnold Palmer. Bubba hates life and people. Maybe the magazines.
Yeah, maybe.
Or just life and people. So, yeah.
Strong comments from him.
Masters updates coming up. Let me give you a Wilderness Ridge update. It's going to be gorgeous weather, finally. I can't do a darn thing about the wind, but I can tell you to get to Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106, and check out their membership benefits. When I'm talking about benefits, I'm talking the 27 holes they have for you, advanced tee times, and the monthly payment options. Membership pricing is there for you to investigate, and Chris Thompson, Mike Shewhart can help you. Shuey will be back with us next week. He has been to Augusta. He's played in several of the majors, and he was a voice of reason after he came back from Mexico with Nebraska Golf this weekend. You can join us, 466-377-6800-825-5865. You can tap the line, brought to you by Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. We'll get caught up with Aaron Sorensen of Hale Varsity. And listen, this is a pretty good deal for you when it comes to the subscription fee, as in it's there's no fee, 30-day free trial offer when you sign up for HaleVarsity.com. On there, you can go to the message board area, just an amazing community for Nebraska fans, and check out the latest on Nebraska basketball, what some of our Husker basketball insiders are saying, in-depth recruiting analysis from Aaron when it comes to visitors this weekend and next, and we can give you a six-month online subscription. How about now? Caller 4. Right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, a six-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. Get you caught up on recruiting, the rumor mill, the message board community, and up-to-the-minute breaking news. Caller 4, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4 now. Aaron Sorensen will join us next.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat,
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back to the Hour 2, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Let's talk some recruiting. Let's talk some spring practice. And get caught up with Hale Varsity's Aaron Sorensen.com and magazine and Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, it's been an interesting week, and I've been anxious to see how the week that went, really, the week that was, the week that went for the offense as far as their kind of response to some of the defensive, defensive stranglehold from time to time last Saturday. We'll get a view tomorrow, obviously, at the practice, but what's kind of been your takeaway? What's the vibe been this week with Nebraska?
Well, I think, you know, Patrick O'Brien was very clear after practice yesterday that they really want to bounce back as an offense, and that I don't think that the offense walked away from last Saturday's practice particularly happy with their performance. And, you know, it's always so – this is such a hard conversation at the same time, because you want to see the defense excel, but at the same time you don't want to see one position or one side of the ball do so much – better than the other. You'd hope to see them be a little more equal. And I don't know if that's necessarily saying that the offense is really far behind. It just means that it, you know, the defense is, especially the secondary, is really, really solid. So the vibe I've gotten this week is, you know, what Langsdorf talked about yesterday is that they're continuing to evaluate the different position groups. Something that had, you know, stood out to me personally is he said that Cole Conrad is also taking snaps at center, so you now have him alongside Raritan and Decker fighting for that center job, and they're really, you know, still evaluating who makes the most sense where on the offensive line, as well as, you know, Reggie Davis talked about the exact same thing with the running backs, and Keith Williams, you know, he's saying the exact same thing about the wide receivers. So it sounds like the offense has been a lot of evaluation this week and is going to continue being a lot of evaluation and could be that way through fall camp as well. And I think if you are trying to say, if you're a fan looking for something to take away from this Saturday scrimmage, it would be that whatever evaluation they've done over the last week, they're starting to find the places that guys maybe make the most sense and where they fit, or just a little more confident. So, you know, I liked what Patrick O'Brien said, that they're, you know, ready to go back out there. They're ready to, you know, show what they can do. So I think the attitudes are right. It's just now the play needs to match that.
Aaron Sorensen with us, Hale Varsity Radio. That's a great description. And let's follow up. A lot of nuggets from yesterday's practice and great work by Hale Varsity, yourself and Jacob with the practice coverage, and Babbers at HaleVarsity.com. How about Conrad to center? That's kind of a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, because he was at, what, right tackle last year? And
yeah, he's one of the tackles.
Yeah, they're shifting it around. And, you know, I think what that goes to show, and I think that this is something that a lot of people have been talking about, it's just, you know, we can talk about the quarterback, you know, competition all we want. But the one thing that I was talking with Brandon Vogel about this yesterday is everyone is really excited about these quarterbacks, Tanner Lee, Patrick O'Brien, even Tristan Jebbian, Andrew Bunch, but you know, the one thing that people really wanted out of Tommy Armstrong to be this type of quarterback that Tanner Lee and Patrick O'Brien are, the one thing he was able to do that I think that maybe we took for granted is he could scramble out of situations. And as a result of that, I think in 2016, he bailed the offensive line out of a lot of, you know, potentially problematic moments. And now you've got your two quarterbacks battling for that starting spot aren't exactly your scrambling quarterbacks. That's not what they do. And so I think we're now starting to see really where this offensive line is and what they're going to have to elevate their play. So, you know, when you hear that Conrad's getting moved around, I wouldn't be surprised if you continue to see, shuffling on that offensive line until hopefully they find that right fit. Because, you know, Langsdorf made a comment about that. I'm looking back at his quotes from yesterday that they'd hit a run and then they'd lose yards on a run and then they'd hit a run. And then he just felt like it was sort of inconsistent with that offensive line. So when you're talking about some of your veterans on that line being inconsistent, Nick Gade, Gerald Foster, you need more from them. And so, you know, if I'm Kavanaugh and if I'm Langsdorf, I'm shuffling that group until you find the right spot, and you do not put anybody somewhere because of veteran status. You keep shuffling them until you find the right grouping that is going to protect the quarterback, because if you can't do that, you've got quarterbacks that are great, but they're not going to be great by no fault of their own if that offensive line isn't solid. So I think you're going to continue to see that shuffling, and we may hear names get tossed around into different spots.
Well, you can't be a pinata back there. I mean, you just can't be offensively for Nebraska. So, okay, if you're getting your best on the field, and that means your best five, and then you find two to three more depth-wise, does that mean they feel better about the tackle spot then if they're willing to move a guy who started four or five games for you last year and could easily have won the right tackle spot?
Possibly. I mean, that's sort of what the assumption would be. But at the same time, part of me just wonders if they're just continuing to just sort of shuffle things around and see who makes the most sense where. But I do think that what you just said is right, that, you know, they obviously feel better about those tackle positions. We know how important that center position is on the offensive line. And, you know, over the years, even under Pelini, when you had the other Pelini under center, people were critical there. If there's that person has to be really, really strong and solid. So maybe that's something where they just don't feel 100% confident in Raritan and Decker just yet in that role. So they figure, let's throw Conrad into the mix and see what happens. But You know, talking to Raritan and having talked to Decker last week, they're taking everything in stride. It doesn't sound like they're discouraged by change or by competition. I think that's the right attitude, and I hope that they continue that, because that's really going to make them better if they view this as an opportunity. You don't want to think that they go into this thinking, you know, what's the point? You know, they're just going to give it to somebody else. You hope that this elevates their play as a result of throwing somebody else into the mix.
Aaron, want to talk wide receivers here for a second. A lot of talent there, just not a lot of depth. And one guy who is going to step up maybe will be J.D. Spielman, a guy I'm really excited about. It sounds like he's having a pretty good spring, correct?
Yeah, so far. I mean, I think everyone's been – he's sort of – it's funny with the names that sort of evolve out of practice, especially in the spring. And J.D. Spielman is one of those names that he can it continues to come up. And it comes up not only from scrimmage, it comes up from just drill work. So even last Saturday when they were running some drills and they were having the quarterback throw these really, really nice long passes off to the side, and they had all of us move back a little bit because they were afraid that the wide receivers would, you know, leap for these balls and run into all of us. But he is somebody who you can tell he impresses Keith Williams, and as a result, he's impressed everybody who's been there. And I think a lot of people who have all those coaches that were there last week had an opportunity to see him in action, and it's sort of a treat to watch someone like him play. But like you said, this wide receiver group is very talented. It's just not very experienced yet. So, you know, watching this evolution will be interesting, especially when you have injuries now to maybe, you know, the wide receiver group. You just hope that they can continue to stay as healthy as possible, and that, you know, people like JD continue to evolve, because there's a lot of potential there. It's just getting them that experience, and so you just want that. You just cross your fingers that they all stay healthy. That's really the big thing at this point, is just not having too much shakeup there.
A few more minutes here. Aaron Sorensen with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Kind of a recap of the week as Nebraska scrimmages tomorrow. Aaron, the quarterback race, I know Patrick O'Brien asked about it yesterday. You guys were there, and also Tanner Lee, and kind of different answers, not to read too much into it, but Tanner thinks everyone's doing well. He knows the grades they get. Patrick feels like it's pretty even. What's your take on it?
Well, and this is, I mean, I've said this since day one, and I will stand by my personal evaluation. I believe that this is Tanner Lee's job to use. And the reason I feel that way is you have someone like Devaney on the national signing day show that the university did, talking about sort of how great Tanner Lee is. You don't have people saying those things. And the word I've gotten is that he is the future. People don't say that if he's going to end up as your backup quarterback. With that said, like you said, Patrick believes that this is pretty much an even race. They see their grades. They feel really good about the fact that they're on equal playing ground. And I believe that to a certain degree. I just think with the experience that Tanner has, playing at the collegiate level already is going to benefit him right now in the immediate. And there's no real losing situation here, though, for Nebraska or Nebraska fans, because you name Tanner Lee starter, if something happens to him, you now feel very confident in your backup with Patrick O'Brien being very equal. And Nebraska has not had that in a while, where they feel comfortable with a backup quarterback being able to step in when the starter goes down. So no matter what, this is a really good situation. And so I like the fact that Patrick is clearly competing his butt off. Tanner is as well, and they feel that they're even. And, you know, Tanner was one yesterday, said you can just go out there and keep trying to put together a bunch of really good days in a row. You can really only focus on what you're doing and just keep doing, you know, just trying to show what you can control and you can do. And I think that's the right attitude, and I think they're both going to be better quarterbacks as a result of this. And I don't see this as a losing situation in any way for anyone involved, because you now have two really solid quarterbacks no matter what happens.
So it seems like a close race from all we hear. How about another close race at running back? Is anybody standing out there, or is that a pretty tight race for the number one spot right now?
That's such a hard – and like I was going to say, with quarterback, I still don't believe it's as close as we all say. And the only reason why is it's just because I think it's Tanner's job to lose.
Yep.
But what's interesting with running back, on the other hand, that just is listening to Reggie Davis yesterday, he talked about, yeah, absolutely, we want to find that starting guy. We want that guy to stand out. But he never, he doesn't directly say, okay, so here's who it is. And it's one of those things where it's just part of me wonders is like, are they just struggling right now to find, is that person just not really breaking out yet? Is it too close to call between a couple of people? I think there's a few different ways you can go with that. But he did say yesterday he would love to see somebody sort of become the leader of the pack sooner rather than later. As a coach, he wants to see that. For the team itself, he wants to see that. As for who it's going to be, it doesn't even, I'm sure he has an idea, but it doesn't sound like it's really clear yet, at least not clear enough to tell us. So I think that will be one thing where, not even tomorrow with the scrimmage, but the spring game, it will be interesting to see who gets the most carries that day. I would be very interested in that because I think that will sort of answer that question. And even then, like we've seen in the past, we get an idea at the spring game and then come fall, it becomes a committee running back effort again. So, you know, that's a position that I feel like is a little bit of a question mark for a lot of different reasons. So I think keeping an eye on that one, especially for the spring game, will be interesting.
And we'll wrap here with JoJo Doman, your reaction to his ACL news, and then maybe a recruiting update.
Yeah, that's such a bummer. The one, you know, if you're looking at it from a positive for both him and Nebraska, Nebraska's very deep in that position. He still had a redshirt year that he could, use, and obviously you can always apply for a medical redshirt, but he's not going to lose playing time, which is the one benefit. It is a bummer for him. You just think, like, poor guy, like, here he, like, just like J.D. Spielman on the other side of the ball, he's getting his name talked about every week in practice, and people are really excited about him. He's making moves, and then he tears his ACL. So it's just an unfortunate situation. It's a good thing that he's able to, he'll be able to really take the time to recover and not feel like he has to race back because he won't lose a playing year. So I think, you know, we just wish him the best that he takes the time to recover. It sounds like Riley and his staff are really on board with making sure that he really heals up and it doesn't become a lingering injury of trying to, you know, rush himself too fast. But as you said, recruiting, totally different topic, but, you know, there's a few people that will be in town this weekend for those that are keeping track at home. I think some people that we aren't expecting will show up on the sidelines at the scrimmage. Will Farniak will be in town. He's basically in town every weekend, partially to see his brother. You have another offensive lineman in Will Putnam, who's supposed to be in town. And then you're going to see a few other local Nebraska kids in town this weekend that weren't able to make it for Junior Day because invitations just had gotten out late for Junior Day, so things conflicted. So those kids that some people I know were looking for at that day, on that Junior Day, will be in town tomorrow. So I'm sure Jacob and Mike and we'll be making sure everybody on the board is getting, you know, updated with who's visiting. But there'll be some visitors in town, and then next week literally every recruit under the sun is coming to Nebraska for its spring game. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, and Aaron Sorensen, you'll be right there for it and doing an awesome job with HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron, we'll catch up next week. Thanks for a few minutes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Aaron Sorensen is all over it. We'll have a in-depth practice reaction tomorrow with Hale Varsity. Maybe even a little bit of Facebook Live, because that's my thing now, right? I have a face for Facebook and radio. Sauter Heyman has the rights and the expertise of being the exclusive dealer of Nebraska's pure-grown diamonds. Sauter Heyman, the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds here in the great state of Nebraska. Real diamonds grown in labs. They are eco-friendly. They are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. See Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, right west in Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com, for those pure-grown diamonds.
That's what she said.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay is on his way back from Augusta. TJ, what did you do? You started drinking already?
I hit the wrong button, but that was pretty funny.
Okay. Well, we'll get into some Nebraska baseball in a moment. But something's got you fired up.
Yeah.
It's got you hot.
Billy D.
Pushing buttons. The wrong button for you. It's Bill Dolman. Dolman's pure gold, Jerry. But Billy D, because we asked him about the NBA. He's last 5-6 years of his career was with the Rockets, but he knows the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And Bill Dolman said this that got you breaking glass and stomping ants.
I think the return of Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors is going to be a detriment to their title chances.
Wow.
Because he's been out for so long, and now, you know, the big question going into the season in my mind was, how is he going to adapt to all those guys? Now he's coming in at the biggest part of the season, and this is Curry and Green and Thompson's team again, and now you're going to put him in at the most important time of year. I just think that's really going to be disruptive. I know they're having a great year, and they're 10-0 in their last 10 games. I think that's going to be an issue for Golden State is, wait a minute, what's this guy doing here? And now he's getting, you know, all the shots again.
Bill,
I think that's going to be an adjustment.
We were running out of time up against it segment-wise. Here's the question I have. We'll get to Nebraska baseball, but I mean, you got NBA playoffs starting up, and that's when some of you wake up to the NBA. It's fantastic to watch, especially the West has been great. The presence of Durant with Curry's play, that's a fair point. Curry's been on fire. Curry's been playing like himself.
He has, but when Durant went down initially, boy, were him and Thompson struggling.
Well,
they couldn't hit an open shot to save their life.
It's because they adjusted. Folks know how to defend them better based on last year. I mean, Golden State had to do something to keep their stranglehold on being the home court one seed. Mm-hmm. They were still going to be a playoff team. They were still going to be top 2 to 3. But they adjusted. They went out, got Durant. And now you want to talk about spacing and picking poison. I mean, you still got your toughness and physicality and crazy with Draymond. But now you had even more deadeye from beyond. And then Durant also showed the ability to get to the rim this year. I wonder, it's a fair question, but is it something you worry about if you're a Warriors fan or if you're just liking, if you just want to see Cleveland Golden State, you know, round three?
I mean, look, they were 50-9 with them. I mean, they were doing pretty darn well, and he would have been up for MVP consideration had he stayed healthy. And what he added defensively, since they lost Andrew Bogut, I mean, he was a pretty good defensive presence, better than Zaza Pachulia or JaVale McGee, who they have now manning that position. So I don't think they'll miss a beat. He's coming back tomorrow, finally coming back against the Orleans Pelicans, who have 3 regular season games to get it right. He won't be on a minutes restriction tomorrow unless he's just tired, and then Kerr said he'll take him out. But 3 games to get it right before the playoffs. The first seed, they'll probably play either the Nuggets or Portland.
Portland's matched up with them well in the past.
They have.
Pre-Durant.
And I'd like to see the Nuggets get in personally, just from a watching standpoint. If people haven't seen Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets, that guy is amazing. But yeah, Billy D was saying great stuff about James Harden, and I would vote James Harden as my number one MVP. His turnaround has been amazing, but I can't get behind Durant's going to hold them back.
Okay, well, it's not even a holding back. It's disrupting flow.
Yeah, he said detriment. I don't know how Kevin Durant can be a detriment.
Between minutes and touches, what you're used to. Regular season's one thing. I'm going devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
I think this will only enhance them, and this will assure them into the Western Conference Finals, mm-hmm. at least. They should win it. But you still got San Antonio. You still have Houston. And then OKC is – I'd love to see Golden State OKC for 7. But the problem is that's at the expense of Houston. And I think Houston-Golden State would be a lot
of
fun.
Yeah, well, and all the Golden State-OKC matchups have been Golden State blowouts easy. I think Houston has the best chance to beat Golden State, maybe even better than Cleveland right now.
And then I like San Antonio is going to be – this is their window's about shut. With the aid, and that's not a Kawhi bash. It's the rest of their roster.
Kawhi's amazing.
Last thought, Klay Thompson. Does this affect him with Durant coming back?
So Klay had been kind of struggling all year a little bit, shooting from 3.
He went for, what, didn't he go for 73 one night early in the year?
Was that this year or last year?
No, I think it was this year.
Okay. But overall, he had been struggling from three, which was kind of odd. He kind of picked it up as Curry, and those two kind of picked it up after they were struggling since Durant went down. I think they'll still be fine, man. I mean, that final five you can put out with Durant, Thompson, Curry, Green, and Iguodala. I mean, good luck guarding that. And then they are able to switch everything on defense. That is just a nightmare lineup to try to defend and score against.
Yeah, I agree with you. But Bill's...
But yeah, Bill's entitled to his opinion, that's for sure.
Bill knows his NBA.
He does.
All right, let's talk, speaking of lineup, Nebraska and Maryland. And listen, you have this opportunity for Nebraska baseball. And here's what I feel like for Nebraska baseball fans. I think you're at the point where, and it's kind of like basketball, where you're just, you'll get on the bandwagon, but you got to hear the whistle to do so. And Nebraska's put a little bit of love together. They're unbeaten, and they've done well. Now, they've beaten some teams they're supposed to beat, but, you know, in a couple of years past, maybe they would lose focus or not handle success in a week like this. You come off a win in 3 of 4, and then you go take 2 out of 3 with the tie. So you're hot. And then you have Creighton. You pound them, which you had to love. But then against UNO, that's a game they could have and sometimes would have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They found a way. And now you have the Terps coming in, ranked in the top 25. And I look at Maryland's numbers, and they're a team that is extremely aggressive on the base paths. They lead the Big Ten in steal attempts. They're not far off from steals that are successful. So if you do get on base, they're going to run on you. That'll stress your defense. You're tied with them for second. You don't get Michigan this year. So when it comes to RPI opportunity, these guys are number 45. You better make it count. They're similar offensively. Nebraska's gotten a bit warmer at the plate as they're hitting 267. Maryland's 266. And from a combined pitching standpoint, both teams are... As a team, they allow 245. Conditions will be very favorable. I think the park will be packed because of who it is. You didn't really have him show his hand, but Schreiber indicated that they remember losing at College Park 2 years ago. They got slaughtered, kind of derailed what was a okay season until then. You can't let it happen. You can't lay an egg. You can't lay an egg at home. Now, if you just get beat because that's baseball, so be it. But don't hurt yourself. And I think this team will maybe raise to the occasion. We'll have our predictions here coming up. But Hohensee versus Schaefer. I mean, Schaefer's insane. The guy allows 180 average against him. So Hohensee has been good. He'll need to be great tonight against Schaefer. Schaefer is beatable, though. He's 4-1 on the year. That's at 6:35 tonight at Haymarket. Of course, Mike Babcock will have coverage of that. So I look at the aggressiveness here, and that's just what Maryland is. And it's what Nebraska has been when they're good. That's their demons on the base paths. They're really good at scouting opposing pitching and getting either ahead of the count or out in front with an at-bat, being aggressive early in the at-bat, and getting runs home, finding ways to manufacture runs. Kind of the Will Bolt era is how I look at when I define aggressiveness for Nebraska. That's what I think. They'll be getting a dose of that with Maryland. They just got to manufacture runs. I mentioned the average of Maryland, so they make up for it by trying to get after you and do the run game thing. So they also have power. I mean, they're number 4, Maryland is, with home runs. So they'll run on you, and then they'll swing out of their shoes to try and park one over the wall. It's not a bad combination, kind of fun to watch baseball-wise. But if you're Nebraska, take a deep breath and kind of follow the lead here with what Miller's been able to do, what Schreiber's been doing, and what Altavilla's been doing. And Roskam's been a nice surprise, too, as a freshman. So this will be a good lesson for Nebraska. Indiana's a team that traditionally you circle to beat because you'll meet or you'll chase them in the upper echelon standings. Maryland's your favorite. Been one of your favorites in the Big Ten the last couple of years. They've done and performed well in the postseason. Maryland has. You get them at home after the first time in a little bit of a hiatus. Keep the momentum, set the tone, and change this conversation about, you know, what's Nebraska baseball going to be? Are they for real? Or are they just going to kind of tank? I mean, the question marks that are there, get to that 20-win number right now. Do something about it. You have the opportunity at hand tonight.
Is the narrative that, you know, Nebraska entering Big Ten when they join the conference, that they're just going to sweep through Big Ten baseball, is that kind of over, or is the Big Ten better at baseball?
Big Ten's gotten better at baseball because Nebraska moved into the neighborhood. There's been better facility updates in the Big Ten, and I think teams took it personal that maybe Nebraska, I don't think they thought this, but maybe the perception was given to them that, well, Nebraska's just going to roll in here and smoke your teams. It's been a bit of a ripple effect, good and bad. Nebraska's had to step up their game, and it's been a better baseball league than initially when they moved in. But the teams have also gotten better because of that threat, and Nebraska's not followed suit. I mean, they haven't won the Big Ten yet.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking to me.
No, and look, they haven't won the Big Ten yet, and they've been in position a couple of times, but they need to win more games, and Darren Erstad will tell you that to a man, that they need to win more baseball games, and they haven't. So make it happen this weekend. Keep this roll going. Kind of reverse the tide of what's gone on, where things have looked promising, and then you've hit it. And really, if you're Nebraska, too, opportunity-wise, without Michigan, and, you know, Michigan State's decent this year. You'll have opportunities in Big Ten play to be okay, but you didn't do well. You didn't do well in your non-conference against the Oregon States of the world and some of these other tournaments against Arkansas. You beat Arizona once. That's a feather in your cap. You take two out of three from Maryland, it also helps you here with this NCAA tournament chase. Friday forecast coming up with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, are we efforting? Give me a sign here. The middle finger is for Klausburn. Yes, we're okay. We don't have him, or we do have him. No? Yeah. It's kind of shocking. Not really. We do have Brandon Vogel. He is back. Vogues, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. We are set to rock a little different flavored Friday forecast, and it's brought to you by your friends at the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. If we don't get him, that's okay. We'll talk another time with Klausburn. So our picks today, for entertainment purposes only, between 6 and 8 million Americans meet criteria for gambling addiction, many more affected by another's gambling problem. Don't gamble more than you can afford, and if it stops being fun, please seek help. Let's soldier forward with the Friday forecast. So it's a little different forecast feel because of the options. I looked at the NBA slate and just didn't do anything for me. So there you go. We don't have any NBA. But come playoff time, we'll be good with it. Vogues, how do you feel about college baseball?
I feel pretty good about it. Getting to be that time, you know, it takes a little while for me, at least, to I enjoy cold baseball in the fall, not so much at the start of the season in the spring. So it takes me a little while to warm up to the sport as the globe itself warms up, I guess.
No, I hear you. Absolutely. So let's talk Nebraska baseball. Big weekend for Maryland. We just got done kind of previewing the series. And three games set today, tomorrow, Sunday with the Terps. Teague, we'll start you off. And best out of three, how does Nebraska fare?
I think Nebraska does all right. I think they lose tonight against Maryland's best pitcher, but then I think they bounce back Saturday and Sunday to go 2-1 against the Terps.
TJ says 2-1. I am going to go the other way on this one. I'm going to go 1-2. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that they'll be into tonight's action. They'll do better than expected against Schaefer, the ace for Maryland. But I think they lose in extra innings tonight. I think they lose Saturday to Blum. And then the other Blum gets beat by Jake. I think Myers comes to the rescue on Sunday to salvage the series. But they're very tight, well-contested games. It's a series you want to win. But if you don't win the series and you play well, I think it helps you the rest of the Big Ten season. That's how I'm going about this weekend. Nebraska does not get it done against Maryland. The Terps win 2 out of 3. Vokes.
I'll take Nebraska, too. I think it'll be a close one. It should be a really fun series, just when you look at, I guess, the makeup of the two teams, where they're at coming into this one. Looks pretty even. So I'll take Nebraska to get the win tonight against the Ace in front of a fun Friday night crowd. Drop the middle game, and then come back on Sunday and win the rubber match.
Look at Vogues. Mr. Optimism. I love it. All right, Saturday, Nebraska, another scrimmage. They don't count more than any other. We'll have the official spring game spread and prediction next Friday. But who wins the scrimmage tomorrow? The defense wins last Saturday. The offense remembers that. Hell, I've been blabbering about it for a week. Me and many. Vogue, start us off here. Is it an offense or a defensive feel-good for the Nebraska football team tomorrow at this scrimmage?
Well, before we get that, have we seen any early lines for that spring game? I'm pretty interested in where that one fits right now.
Well, didn't we, like, throw out – I think I almost nailed it last year. I think the white ended up winning when everyone was all over the red because of the first-team offense. And it was like 37-33 or some ungodly score fest.
That's right. I guess we don't even know how they're splitting them up.
See, and that's like last night with Junior's small fry game, the way the offenses were going, the under 65 was totally right on. And first team to sit to 34 was right. I nailed that. That's sick and depraved, but there's things you can tell based on watching the first half. You have no clue how it's going to be drafted, okay? So we can't set a line for the spring game at all here and now. We got to wait till at least Wednesday and next week. I will consult you, though, okay?
No, okay. Well, whatever the total is, I'll take the under. and if they haven't split it up offense, defense, I'll make defense 8.5-point favorite. As far as tomorrow goes, I think the offense will bounce back a little bit. But I still think Bob Diaco's defensive demons will come away as a slight winner of the day. Do expect the offense to kind of respond a little bit, I guess, even though it's just practice. Seems like, you know, they've had a week of hearing about how well the defense played in that one. So I'll take the offense to bounce back, but not quite get the win.
Okay. Teach.
Yeah, I don't think the gap might be as huge as we're all thinking. So I think the offense bounces back tomorrow.
I am going to go with the defense. I'm going to go with the defense having another good day. The thing that will make me feel better tomorrow, if you're a Nebraska fan, is maybe your run game's a little more consistent. A little bit. But give me the defense. Give me Diaco. I mean, you know, wait till some of those outside backers that just started playing football get it. And I think they're still in a major search for who they feel great with, that can do everything they ask them to do on the offensive line. They're still searching for that. And it's going to be an ongoing quest beyond spring for this offensive line group. And there's guys to choose from. There's still chances to step up. Give me the defense tomorrow. Finally, who puts the green jacket on Sunday? Teach.
Ricky Fowler, for the first time. Flatbill.
Really?
He gets it done. Ricky Fowler.
Do you know if he's going to make the cut?
He's top of the leaderboard right now.
Look at you. Look at you having that ammo packed. Say, stick it, Schmidt. Yeah, he's going to make the cut. You know what? I'm going to go... Hoffman's reeling a bit, but give me Hoffman. Give me a wire-to-wire. That's code for I don't know. Vogues, who do you think?
Yeah, I'm not a golf guy, so literally just throwing darts at the board here. But give me Sergio. He's had back-to-back pretty solid rounds. Last I looked, was tied atop the leaderboard. If you'd bet this before he had two back-to-back pretty good rounds, I think you could have gotten about 30-1. So that's my expert advice.
All right, Vogues, be good. We'll catch up with you this weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There we go. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. The Friday forecast brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Council on Compulsive Gambling, and the Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love have a problem, dial the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Moore is in the air right now, leaving Augusta National. Jay Moore back next week. A full rundown of tomorrow's scrimmage Monday on Hail Varsity. Don't forget the weekend edition. Everyone's left me, and I get that. Jay Moore to the Masters this week. Mark Cranack to Ireland this week. Which, it's been a good week. TJ Henning, babe.
Mm-hmm.
You'll bring me a muffin tomorrow?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I can actually do that, yeah.
All right, you're going to bring a muffin?
Yeah.
Okay. The weekend edition is alive and well.
Is that Cranack's homeland, Ireland?
I think he got kicked out of there.
Okay.
Many years ago. Yeah, Cranack loves some international travel. So we'll get you ready for the spring ball game, not only a week from Saturday, but the imminent scrimmage tomorrow. Kind of recap some Husker baseball, some more Nebraska basketball thoughts for sure if anything comes down the pipe on that one. So you'll want to catch up with us and be part of the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. A major thanks to Kay, very talented on-air personality here in Lincoln, as she was on KFRX for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's the last 6 years. She is off to a different part of the state of Nebraska. And she's that talented. God love her, and best to her. She filled in as producer from time to time.
Yeah.
This was the transition from Danny before TJ. You got rocking, and she'd even hook you up from time to time and fill in for you. Mm-hmm. So, Kay, I don't know that you're listening to sports radio. You stayed awake while filling in. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Kay.
Sweet, sweet gal.
Really good at her job.
Yes.
We'll be missed.
Absolutely. So weekend plans for TJ Henning aside waking up tomorrow and bringing me a muffin.
Yeah, going to bed early tonight.
I think so, too.
Drove my roommate to the airport in the early morning today, so going to catch some Z's.
Where's he going?
Charleston for a wedding this weekend.
South Carolina?
Yep.
That's where Bird was.
But he's having a lot of travel issues, and so is everybody else flying Delta. So
what for?
Apparently there was a storm, but the weather's fine, but plane cancellations are still happening like crazy. So
really?
From Lincoln to Atlanta's fine, but from Atlanta to Charleston,
my mother goes to Charleston with some of her friends. She has in the past. I hear that's the place to be. I hear it's just an awesome city.
Yeah, I've never been to either Carolina, but I'd like to go sometime.
It'll be fun. It'll be good. All right, well, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 a.m. If you miss any part of Hail Varsity Radio, as always, take us with you, man. It's about your convenience, so you can log on to HailVarsity.com and go to the radio tab, get caught up on the show, can go to iTunes and download that for free, can go to the ESPN 1480 app. And it's very convenient not only to listen and stream live, but also get caught up on the podcast with us or Greg Ethan Smith. So we ask you to do that. And, of course, Facebook can check out some of our posts there on Hail Varsity and on ESPN 1480. We'll talk to you again in about 20 hours. Yeah, sort of. I don't know. 7 a.m. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Take care.